glimpse of what the hope is for what can come from God, who is going to bring salvation, who's going to bring light into darkness, who's going to bring peace, who's going to bring freedom. And I'm so aware when we sing songs like "All Things Work Together for Those That Love the Lord," in context, that is true. Out of context, it can seem like a curse. Jesus comes and sees these men fishing. Simon, Peter, and Andrew. "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fish for men." And if you were listening last week to the readings, you might go, "Wait a minute. Andrew was with John the Baptist and saw Jesus, followed him, but he went to get Peter, and he said, 'I've just met the Messiah, follow, come on.' And then Jesus said, 'Come and see. Come and let's talk and sit and we'll have bagels and we'll just engage with one another.' It seems that there's a contradiction as to, okay, hold on, which was the time, which was the moment when Jesus said, 'Come follow me?' Well, we have to understand the context of this is Jesus did not just say this once and then they just upped and followed. Imagine Zebedee, the father of James and John, who has just been teaching them the trade of the family of fishing. And this guy on the beach goes, "Come follow me." "Cool, see you, Dad." And their guy's like, "Sorry, what's this?" The odds are high. Zebedee, the father, knew that this was coming because this had been a build-up. There had been relationship that Jesus had been building, and yet we can read these verses going, Jesus asked them to follow, and that's what they did. Upped and followed. And we miss out on the experiences, the joy and the sorrow of what actually it meant to follow Jesus. What does it look like to follow Jesus? What does that mean for us today as we think and we hear these stories all the time, or if we are here, or if we come pop in and out sporadically? We know that Jesus loves us and we know that he's there for us, but my life, there is chaos in my life. There is heartbreak in my life. Where's Jesus in those moments? God models togetherness. We see the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We see in creation that man and woman were created. And there is in this whole legacy of creation this gathering that goes on, this bringing together. God loves and desires community. There was a movie I saw a number of years ago, and it was talking about all sorts of horrendous things that churches had done in this particular parish, in this particular area. And people were blaming and saying, "This is the church's fault." And I goes, "You know, the saying goes, it takes a village to raise a child, but it can also take a village to keep a secret." And the acknowledgement and the ownership was, this was not just the fault of the church, but it was the fault of the community, because people knew what was going on, but decided not to say anything. Communities are powerful. Communities are called to bring unity. And we know and we see tribalism, and we see that throughout the world. We know of tribalism on our own nation. And we see the despair and the pain and the grief that that can bring. And then we also see areas of community that come together in such pain and discomfort that brings hope and that brings love. We're going to be looking at these next couple of months at what it is to listen to Jesus. We're going to start a series of listening to Jesus. I'm going to be looking at some of the teachings that Jesus came out with. And there's something about when we think of teaching, I don't know about you, but when you think of when you were in school, hands up if you had a teacher that you really, really liked. Whew, okay, that's good. Hands up if you had a teacher you did like. Okay, fitty-fitty. I would suspect all of us have had a teacher that we've actually, I like this teacher. Because they were not just teaching you the subject, but there was more to them than their teaching. It wasn't just their passion or their desire for what they were saying, but it was most likely as well how they treated you. And there are many teachers that treat students so well. Claire. I got the look. But in that, there are other teachers that actually, they have forgotten the desire as to why they got into it, of what it is to pass on this information, this knowledge, and it just becomes all about the subject and not about those that are listening. And Jesus, as much as he was a great teacher, discipleship is what Jesus was about. Discipleship of not just passing on this knowledge, but actually what it was to live it out. I had a teacher, Dr. Bradshaw, who was my music teacher. And it was one of my first or second classes my first class was geography because I lost my way and I had a near panic. And then my second class was music with Dr. Bradshaw. And he was incredibly flamboyant. Morning, okay, today we're going to sing. So I want you guys all to stand up. And we're like, I was really nervous. And some of us were excited, thinking this guy's nuts. But as the time went on, not only did he love and have passion for what he taught, but he loved us as well. When he'd see us in the corridor, he would stop and ask how we were, how our day was going. There was engagement. It wasn't just his subject, but he actually had concern for us outside class. That was great. Jesus engages, not just with, here's my teachings, listen to them, don't question, and I'll see you when you get to heaven. That is not Jesus' heart. Jesus engages. Jesus gathers and calls us to do the same. And there are moments when we are going through great joy and we want to celebrate and share that with others. They're good times. They're easy times. When we grieve, when we go through difficulty, and we don't know who to share that with because will you stay with me? Will you journey with me? Will you love me? That's gathering. That's discipleship. And there's heartbreak in that, but we might walk with someone. We may sit with someone. We may want to take a step back with someone. See, the heart of Jesus is for us to know the Father's heart, which is that he loves us. And when things that go on in our world that we cannot control, or we wonder, where are you in all of this? Jesus can weep. God weeps with us. And may go, this is not my heart's desire for you, but I am with you. I love you. I am here. In your suffering, I am here. I am not causing this suffering, but I am here with you in this suffering. Andrew, who brought Peter, Simon first, this happens later on when they are called again. We've all been in that situation where maybe we've been asked to do something and we say, yep, in a minute. And it might just be a minute because we're wanting to finish something else up. Or that minute might get extended because of some distraction that we have, or we don't really want to do what we've just been asked. And Jesus went back to these guys and women again and again and again. And as he engaged and as he entered conversation and relationship and experience, the relationship grew. Jesus was not just about his words. He was about his actions. Jesus calls for us not just to be about our words, but about our actions. And we will fail. I fail. There are times when I just, I can't. And I have to stop, and I have to think, and I refocus. I'm going, Jesus loves me, and I love Jesus. And I know he's rooting for me. And with Holy Spirit, and knowing the Father heart of God, that he is with me, even in my grief, or in my anger, in my hatred, in my confusion, or the times where I feel I've walked away because I just, it's too much. We've heard vows being made for a baptism for Lottie earlier on. And words can be words. It's the action that is important. Action is important. When Rue and I were going out with each other, you've been with me every step of the way. But when Rue and I were going out with each other, I often had the question, because in my family, we would say, I love you all the time. It's like, morning, I love you. Ah, cup of tea, I love you. And this would just go on again and again and again. I thought, this is just great, because we all love each other. And in Rue's family, they wouldn't necessarily say it to each other, but Rue's dad, I have still so much to live up to, because he's just Mr. DIY and does everything and would just go out of his way to help. And the mom is exactly the same. She will just, like, I am now the favorite child. It took a while, but I'm there now. But the mom and dad, they just lavish us with love in their actions. And I used to feel sorry. I was, oh man, they never say I love you. But then I actually saw it. They never had to say it, because it was in all their actions. They would say it, but in their actions, you knew we were loved. We can say so much, but it's our action that does count, that does have impact as a community, as we gather. And we can say things that we can genuinely mean, and then we can forget, and we can move into different spaces. But I want to encourage you that as we come into this time, when we start looking at what it is listening to Jesus and his words, see that they're not just words, but actually these are actions for us as we have been gathered as a community where there is brokenness, where there is pain, where there is suffering, where there is grief, that as we are gathered, that we know we have a place. And as we come to this time of communion, can I bring my brokenness? Can I bring my lack of faith? Can I bring my doubts, my fears, my anger? Yes. Yes. No one is banished from this table, because this is the Lord's table, and all are welcome. And I itch to see the day that the church stops with its judgment and is not known for its judgment, but it is known for its love. Because we say God loves everybody, and yet we don't tend to share that very often. Our actions are important. Saying it is, yes, important, but living it out is important. I have seen incredible acts of love in this place. I have seen people where they do not want to be known, and they do not want to be brought up and celebrated. They just want to show people that they are loved. I encourage all of you, all of me, to see how as I gather in community, how I don't just speak about love, but how actually we share and show that love. Think about this coming week. How can you share this love of God? In what act can be done to share love for someone who needs it? Someone you may know, someone you may have no clue of. I just want to take a moment of silence. And if it helps you focus, close your eyes. But think about someone who needs love, who needs an act of love for them. And this someone can be yourself as well, because it is important to be able to show yourself the love that God has for you too. So just take a moment of silence and think about the love that you would like to show or to receive. And just as we stay in this attitude of prayer, we're going to have our time of intercessory prayer now. I'm going to invite Heather up.